Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Dan Baer's interview with the writer and director for You Hurt My Feelings, Nicole Holofcener.
What kind of story were you thinking about, Hal?
Something in a prison.
Oh, all right. And what about a prison interests you?
Jail?
For sure.
Happy anniversary.
We're so lucky.
Yeah.
So, Elliot tells me you're a writer.
And your last one, it should have done better.
There's lots of new voices. Refugees, cancer, murder, abuse.
I'm an old voice.
You're the best voice.
Maybe if Dad hadn't just been verbally abusive, it would have been a bestseller.
Don't say that.
Your memoir is great. Your new book is great.
How are you?
Feeling a little off my game.
The only reason she makes me a salad is because she wants me to lose weight, which is passive aggressive.
No, I want you to be healthy.
Doesn't matter.
Can you shut up and keep talking?
Don, you want to intervene here? We can do this at home.
Maybe Milani looks tired.
I'm aging.
What are you, nuts?
Can you get Botox?
Well, I just get a little bit right here. You know, I can still move my eyebrows. Watch.
So expressive.
Welcome, everyone, to the Next Best Picture podcast, where we are talking with Nicole Holofcener, the writer and director of the new release, You Hurt My Feelings. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm really well. Thanks.
I'm so glad to hear it. In general, but in this film in particular, your writing always has this sting of truth to it. It feels like you've heard people say these exact things, and that's where it all comes from. Other than the premise of a writer learning that someone has maybe not been telling her the whole truth about how they feel about her work, how much of You Hurt My Feelings was based off of your own lived experience or things that you've seen?
Well, most of my movies are built off my experience or things that I've seen or things that I don't want to have happen to me. And I can't say that this particular situation has ever happened to me, although I'm sure people lie to me now and then. And I flatter myself in thinking that I can tell when they're lying because I know the tells, you know, I do it myself. And I guess sometimes I'd rather have the white lie if it's really bad news. Constructive criticism is great. I guess I just always thought, you know, what if this happened to me? Would I be able to continue in the relate? Can a relationship survive this kind of betrayal or humiliation? And could I? And so I just kind of threw it out there and started exploring the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And came up with no answers, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that I noticed as we're going through and all the characters in the film, and, you know, slight spoilers for people who may not have seen it yet who are listening to this, but they both learn and they don't at the same time, almost. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character, Beth. She is, you know, very hurt by what happened when she learned that her husband thought differently about her book. But then you have her saying, our son, his play is, it's not very good, is it? But telling him, oh, no, you have so much promise, et cetera, et cetera, putting it forward.
She never reads it, though, but she never reads it.
She
just said, I know it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be.
That's it. That's what it is. It's and going to be wonderful.
Right. Which puts a lot of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm. Which puts a lot of pressure and is also like saying this, you know, she hasn't read it. How could she know? Right. And I'm thinking about all these little, they're not white lies exactly that we tell our loved ones. And did you learn anything while you were writing this about like how to broach those kind of discussions with those closest to you about like, you know, let's maybe this isn't the best thing for you to be doing right now, or maybe this isn't as good as you think it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would never tell anybody who's, you know, pursuing a creative career or endeavor, you know, to not do it, especially a young person. But I, you know, who am I? I would never say that to anybody. People said that to me when I was, you know, aspiring filmmaker. And, you know, you don't recover from that. It's just a horrible thing to hear. So, no. And with my own sons, I happen to think they're talented, thank God. I don't think they're wasting their time in their pursuits, but I will give honest feedback if they want it, you know, while still, you know, feeling supportive and hopeful. You know, I think that many parents, and probably myself included, overpraise our children and make them think that they can do no wrong, so that when something isn't so great, you know, they're more devastated or shocked or feel betrayed by us. You know, my mom told me I was a fantastic painter growing up. And I went to art school and it was like, hello, mom. Guess what? I can't even begin to do what everybody is doing in art school, you know, but thank God for her. I mean, she believed in me, but that kind of thing. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, well, it can be hard. And we have, you know, parents are there for a reason. You first worked with Julia Louis-Dreyfus on Enough Said, which a decade ago now, which I have a hard time believing, but time flies. She fits your writing style so perfectly. And I'm wondering, you know, when you write, and I've read that you did write this script with her in mind. How does that sort of artist-muse relationship work in your writing?
Well, it's a gift, let me tell you. When you know you've got somebody who most likely is going to be saying these words, and it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, it's inspiring. I just imagine her, you know, flopping on the couch or weeping or almost throwing up on the street, or, and I just know she's going to nail it. And yeah, it's really inspiring. And, you know, she does ad-lib a lot. All the actors do too. You know, we're all very collaborative, and it's just bliss in that way. So to know, you know, and I don't usually know who's going to be in my films. Certainly I've written some parts for Catherine Keener. And again, a gift when you get somebody as good as those two women, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find that, how do you, as a director, how do you get yourself to take a step back in those moments and say, yes, you know, I like that ad lib, or that's better than anything that, you know, I could have wrote? Or how do you find that space where you give the actors that room to play, but still keep it what you wrote?
Right. Well, they definitely do the script, because it was pretty tight, and I don't think it needed any help. But when we're rehearsing and someone says something hilarious, or you know, really honest or true and it works for the scene, I'm absolutely going to keep it in. Some of those are just blessings. And I had really funny people working on the movie. So a lot of the laughs are not mine. A lot of most of them are. But there's plenty that I just like, thank you, because you made that scene so much better. Yeah, they have the freedom. And so do I. And it's like, I guess it's instinctive. I think, oh, I don't like that, or that diminishes the point, or, you know, and I can just say, no, that was a stinker. And they might say the same to me when I throw out a bad idea. You know, we all felt really safe with each other, which I think is important to make the best kind of work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's great that they, you know, that you all feel that sense together of like this community. That's fantastic. I had to ask, because I think that Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Michaela Watkins are such perfect sisters casting together. So I had to ask, whose idea was that casting?
Yeah.
Well, because I love it.
That was Michaela. And if this gives to actors who want to run up to directors, this is a good story. But that character was a best friend, not a sister. And Michaela said, I want to work with you so much. And I said, I want to work with you so much. We had worked together already. And she said, well, I think I read your script, or I heard you were making this movie. Why don't you just cast me as Julia's sister? And I kind of thought, and I thought, okay. It actually worked that way, as far as I remember. And it's such a wonderful addition that we did that, I feel like, because also Jeannie Berlin plays their mother, and the dynamic of the family, I think, is more compelling if she is a sister. And I really buy them as sisters. Their dynamic, I think, is pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Everything from the look to the mannerisms, it all exactly reads as sisters.
Good. Oh, great.
It's great. Good. That made me really excited. And watching them together is so much fun. I know we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask, there's so much, and I've noticed this as kind of a through line, it happens in a lot of your films where you have these characters who they kind of have, I guess I would describe their worldview as somewhat myopic. It's not self-centered exactly, but it's very small, very much about like what's happening in their bubble. And it's hard to sort of see outside, even to the point where, you know, they can't see some similarities and know, well, that's a completely different situation, and not even seeing any similarities. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, like as someone who's written about this a lot, how do you think that we can break out of those views as people? Or are we, once we find ourselves in that place, are we screwed?
I vacillate because, you know, yes, it's incredibly ridiculous to be upset about half the things I write about. Not ridiculous, but yes, very small world things. And I think both can exist at the same time. You know, I didn't write the scene where they're talking about, you know, how the earth is melting. It is mentioned. And I didn't write the scene where they talk about, you know, abortion and presidents and politicians, and that's all there, but that's not what this is about. And I think that the minutiae in our lives must stay important to us while we're alive. How do you throw that stuff away? Does that answer your question a bit?
I think it does. It's answering a question with a question in the best way.
Oh,
you know, like in order to answer that, this is the question that we have to ask ourselves. Yeah.
Right. And to forgive ourselves for our pettiness at times, because we're human. And we have feelings.
We do indeed.
Yeah. And that's the fun stuff for me to explore, is our behavior and our lack of self-awareness, which I think was part of your question, you know.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down today and talking with us.
Pleasure. Thank you
so much for the film and all the films. And do we know what the next project's going to be yet? Or... still having the afterglow of this one. Still hurt my feelings.
You're still hurting my feelings. No, I don't know what I'm doing next, actually, which is usually the case.
Yeah.
One project at a time. I'm waiting for the inspiration.
Well, can't wait to see whatever comes next from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Dan Baer's interview with the director and writer for the new film, You Hurt My Feelings, Nicole Holop Center, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. You Hurt My Feelings will be released by A24 in theaters on May 25th. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.